And that's the fanfare which opened this year's Edinburgh International Festival. Very stirring music from the Harmonium Project, a choral soundscape from the American composer John Adams. Richard Jordan is an international theatre producer, and from time to time we catch up with him as he travels the world, seeing theatre hither and yon, and today he's at the Edinburgh Festival. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Michael. I should say good morning to you, and of course it's a very late good evening from us in Edinburgh.
Yes, thank you for staying up into the wee small hours in the middle of the night. What have you been up to that's kept you up so late?
Well, of course, the joy in Edinburgh, as listeners may know if they've ever been, it's almost a 24-hour festival. So actually, as I walked over to speak to you tonight, there were still shows that were just opening and playing, including the popular Late and Live show with the many comedians that take up residency that begins about midnight and goes till 4 a.m. So Edinburgh was still popping as I was walking over to speak to you tonight.
So basically, it would be uncool to get up before, well, midday, really.
It would be, wouldn't it? I always remember, and it always made me laugh, there was a group of students who came to Edinburgh about 5 or 6 years ago and did a show called The Big Sleep. And what it was basically was they needed to make some money for the flat they were staying in, so the audience could actually come and actually watch them go to bed and go to sleep in their flat. Which just shows you that anything goes in Edinburgh.
Yeah, well, you get 4 marks for brilliance because making a virtue of necessity. That's what they were doing.
Exactly. Well, I think we might call it entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So did you see that opening thing, the Harmonium Project?
I did. It was a sort of very big sort of light installation show that kicked off Fergus Linehan, who, of course, had done such a great job running Sydney Festival, and, of course, his first festival now in Edinburgh, as he's taken up the mantle as artistic director from Australian Jonathan Mills. And I have to say, he is scoring a wonderful first Edinburgh International Festival. I've had the good fortune of going to see both The Encounter, Theatre de Complicité, Simon McBurney, who listeners may know, a wonderful British company, and McBurney, a fantastic theatre artist and theatre creator, who's actually performing this work in a solo work all about sound and noise. The audience all listen through headphones to an incredible soundscape as he takes us to the Amazon on this journey. It's an absolute hit of the festival, and I expect we will be seeing that coming to Australia in various festivals and in coming years. And then also playing in the same venue in a different space is 887, Robert Lepage, who's been a regular visitor to Australia over many years. His brand new work that actually began for the Pan American Games in Canada before it came over to Edinburgh, and is again, a wonderful memory play that he's created. So he has had an amazing beginning of his time here as artistic director, and I can tell you that the audiences are through the roof in terms of ticket sales for the Edinburgh International Festival.
So can you feel that there has been a change at the top, that we now have a new artistic director? Does it just feel differently?
I think it does. I mean, I have to say, I think Jonathan did a very fine job running the festival. Every festival director, of course, comes in and puts in their own mark on what they're going to be doing. I mean, it's the same as any festival anywhere. One of the biggest changes Fergus did, which was up until about the early 90s, both the Edinburgh International Festival and the Fringe began at exactly the same time. Now, some years ago, that actually changed. So the Fringe, which, of course, is the many performances that surround the Edinburgh Festival, this year there's 3,314 of them, in fact, would play a week before the International Festival opened, and then the International Festival would continue for a week after the Fringe ended. Now, one of the decisions Fergus made was to change that and go back to the old style of early 90s, where both festivals opened at exactly the same time. So, of course, it swelled audience in a very, very big way as a result of that. In some ways, it's affected, I think, perhaps some of the Edinburgh Fringe show's press coverage, because, of course, the journalists who have to review and the critics are having to cover the international festival stuff as well. So I think it's lost the Fringe a little bit of column inches. But as an economic decision for Edinburgh, to me, it seems a very, very smart one. And you can certainly feel a buzz and an energy in the city as a result of that.
What about the challenge of accommodation, which is already massive if you're coming to Edinburgh? Hasn't that made it even trickier to find somewhere to rest your weary head?
I think it has, but I mean, it's very interesting. I think the business to go into, if you're buying property or you're going to buy a sort of flat to let, is to buy it in Edinburgh, because my goodness, do people make some money out of renting their flats through the festival. I think it probably has. I know hotels are sort of charging crazy prices for accommodation. And of course, if the festival themselves are bringing in large orchestras and things, they need an accommodation to be able to handle for people to stay. I know a lot of people this year who've come with caravans, have parked in nearby caravan parks, and they're coming in to enjoy the festival that way. So I think there always is a challenge with accommodation in Edinburgh. And so yes, I'm sure it has had some. It has had some bleed. Has it had any more than other years? I'm not completely sure. I don't know the immediate answer, but I certainly know that certainly it's very expensive to take a hotel room in Edinburgh at the moment.
This is Books and Arts on RN with Michael Cathcart, and we've just crossed live to Edinburgh, where we're talking to international theatre producer Richard Jordan, who joins us from time to time as he travels around the world attending theatrical events. Now, the Fringe is a very, very big deal in Edinburgh, and traditionally quite major artists and writers have launched new work on the Edinburgh Fringe. It's not just a venue for sort of jugglers and university students and so on, although they're all there as well. You even see young directors showcasing their skills with classics. Is that still the pattern this year?
Yes, it is. And I think, actually, interestingly, with the current arts funding crisis that I know Australia is starting to feel now with the changes that have happened to the Australia Council, of course, we've been feeding those for the last few years in on the English side with the Arts Council in the UK. I think Edinburgh has perhaps come even more to being relevant to many of these companies. Firstly, I think because it provides one of the greatest training grounds. It still offers the courage to fail for many artists to be able to come and put work before a very honest audience. It's also for now many young people who are finding this drama school prohibitively expensive. Because Edinburgh has always been the Fringe and open access festival, which means anyone can run up and put a show on if they can hire a venue and get it together, a group of young, talented students or young actors can actually come together and put a little bit of money together and actually come up and actually have a very, very decent showcase at the festival. So that's certainly going on. In terms of playwrights coming, I mean, this year, Jim Cartwright, great British playwright who wrote the wonderful Rise and Fall of Little Voice, the play Two, another one of his very successful plays, has premiered a brand new play here in Edinburgh, and that certainly got some attention. It won a big award on Friday. That play's called Raz, and interestingly, actually stars his son, who's also in the show. So it's I think it still is that launch pad for many people. I mean, of course, Edinburgh boasts a long history of great people who began their careers there. I mean, such as Sam Mendes and Hugh Laurie and Rachel Weisz and Emma Thompson also have passed luminaries of beginning their careers at the Edinburgh Festival. And in more recent years, we've seen John Malkovich, Ricky Gervais, Christian Slater and Susan Sarandon all playing at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, as you say, 3,314 shows on the Fringe.
Yes, I can tell you that's actually also up. Last year it was 3,193. So again, it's a further increase.
Which means that venues have to be found for all of these.
It certainly does. And the interesting question, and it'll be interesting to see the statistics at the end of the festival, is to see if the audience ratio has grown and matched as much as the play ratio has grown. Because there's a great statistic that goes around at the moment that there's basically three audience members per show in Edinburgh at any one time. So if you've got one show that's got 15 people in the audience, there's four other shows at the same time that are playing to absolutely no one.
It's kind of unfair to have 15 people in your audience, isn't it? It shows an inability to share.
I had a lovely story. It's kind of sad story, but about 3 or 4 years ago, I went to a show at the Edinburgh Festival, and I rolled up, and I was the only person in the audience. And it turned out that the guy who showed me at the door was the director of the show. And I said, "Look, you don't have to play the show. I'm the only person." And he said, "No, please, can we do it? Because we've had 3 days before with nobody who turned up, the only person who's shown up in the last 3 days." So I sat down in the auditorium, and the whole show was played just for me. Now, the sad part was they had 15 people in the cast. So I was sort of sat there with this player who's playing for me and, clapping at the end. The sound of one set of hands clapping does sound quite depressing, but they still managed to come back and do a second call.
You got them back for a second time. Good on you, Richard. You're a good and kind man. Well done.
But it does sort of show you the reality of how tough it can be at the Edinburgh Festival to put a show on.
Now, just looking at the main, I suppose it doesn't matter whether it's the main program or the fringe program in relation to this question. I'm wondering about themes, because last year we were talking about the festival and it was clear that quite a lot of people were talking about Scottish identity because they were facing the independence referendum. Are there themes emerging this year, Richard?
do you know what I'd say the biggest theme is at the Edinburgh Festival this year? Is the theme of tolerance. And it's a very interesting theme because it manifests itself in many different ways through work this year. I mean, on the one hand, you've got work like Transcripts, a fascinating verbatim piece that's been brought over from the US by American playwright and producer Paul Lucas. And he's spent, I think, the last 2 years interviewing transgender people all over the world and developing the show in different cities to finally bring it to Edinburgh. And he's got a wonderful transgender cast, some of them who've never been on stage before, playing at the Pleasance Theatre in Edinburgh, that show. And again, a really important work to be there. The other theme, of course, that's come up heavily now, and again, another theme about tolerance and is the theme of immigration, which features incredibly strongly in a lot of work. I mean, Edinburgh actually just began at the cusp of some stuff that you may have been seeing reported in Australia, which was happening on the Calais border with the immigrants trying to get into the UK, and daily riots happening at the entrance to the Euro tunnel, so the Eurostar trains that take you under the English Channel to get into the UK. And that theme of immigration has become a very, very big theme this year in Edinburgh. I think obviously some of the work was playing before this incident even happened, but has now taken on a huge relevance as a result of that. And certainly the theme of tolerance and looking at society and our places in society today and how we connect with each other seems to be a very driving theme, I think, through the Edinburgh Festival and the work that's being created by artists and what they want to share with audiences.
Well, it makes sense as a theme in Edinburgh because people from all over the world are converging on that place. People who are free to travel are going to Edinburgh. Yeah. And it makes such a contrast, doesn't it, between the people who are not free to travel, who are beaten back from the borders of Europe because they have the wrong kind of papers or the wrong kind of place of residence.
Absolutely. And of course, within Europe at the moment, it's a huge issue with Italy, with the people who are coming over with various boats that are capsizing and being taken into mainland Europe as a result. And it is, you know, a very big crisis that Europe is facing at the moment and actually working towards how they deal with that, with finding a resolution for that. And so it's the power of theatre and the power of the arts of how you can actually express and raise awareness and issues and causes and actually, you know, provoke and generate discussion. And out of that, you know, theatre provides that important platform, as it always has done on so many issues through history. And this is certainly a very, very relevant and very urgent one that we're addressing at the moment. So certainly that is a very, very big and present theme and certainly providing a lot of debate and discussion amongst a lot of work that's going on in Edinburgh at the moment.
So when you finish up at Edinburgh, Richard, where are you off to next?
Well, I'm heading off to Belgium. I'm opening a new work there called Are We Not Drawn Onwards to New Era, which uses the music of contemporary American composer William Basinski, and is created with a company I produce called Entre en Troute, who are a Belgian company that we've worked with Sydney Theatre Company before in the past. We've played Adelaide Festival with, and it's a brand new, quite large work that we will be premiering in Ghent in the end of September, and then that will hopefully have a life of touring to many other places afterwards. And then I go to India. Big Mouth, that was a piece of work that some listeners, if they were in Adelaide, may have seen at the Adelaide Festival, begins a world tour, and we actually open it in Delhi at the end of October, which should be quite an interesting experience to be back producing in India again.
And when will you and I be face-to-face next?
I will certainly be, I think, in Melbourne at some point in my spring. So it'll be probably March time, I imagine. I'm coming over. We're just securing some work. We know that's going to the Auckland Festival and possibly a couple of other festivals in Australia. So I no doubt will be having the pleasure of sitting opposite you in the ABC studios, but I'm sure we'll be connecting no doubt before then several times down the line in different places
certainly
around the world as we talk further.
Well, we always look forward to it, Richard. It's great to have you on. Thank you again for staying up so late. Although, as you say, it's just because you're a cool dude who doesn't want to go to bed before everybody else.
I'm just clutching on. I don't know. It's like the end of 12th Night is when Toby Belch says it's either good night or it's actually good morning. It depends which way you're looking at.
Yes, you don't know where you are. Richard Jordan, always a pleasure. Richard's based in London. He's a theatre producer whose work takes him all over the world. And from time to time, he tells us about the theatre that he's been seeing. And you can read more of his thoughts on his blog. It's a fantastic blog. It's on a website called The Stage, and we'll put a link to that on our website. Across Australia, this is RN. You're listening to Books and Arts.